Welcome to Water of the Word, the radio ministry of Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. Join us today as Pastor Steve continues through a verse-by-verse study of the wonderful Gospel of Matthew. Watch as Matthew, a one-time hated tax collector who is consumed with living just for the moment, is transformed into a powerful instrument for God. All because Matthew found Jesus, the one true Messiah of Israel and of the whole world. So come on along. May we all be refreshed and inspired as we are washed by the water of the Word.
Jesus had nothing to repent about. Why is he being baptized? A lot of speculation, but here are some of the leading thoughts. Number one, this is the commissioning of Jesus' ministry. Every priest began their ministry by a bath of sort, a mikvah, if you will. Exodus 29, verses 4 through 7. So is it Jesus being commissioned for his ministry as priest? Could be. Number two, he knew no sin and was made to be sin for us, says John in John chapter 1, verse 31. Is he being identified with me, the sinner? Could be. Or number three, is it prophetic of his own death and resurrection? Because after all, you go in, it's a form of death. You come out as a resurrected new person. Is it prophetic? Is it Matthew 20, verses 22, when Jesus refers to his own death as his baptism? Is it one, two, or three? I kind of think it's all the above, and probably a whole bunch more. Verse 16. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God. Is your spirit capital S? So who is this, you guys? This is the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God descended like a dove. It didn't say it was a dove. It sort of looked like a dove and landed or rested or alighted upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." What's going on here? Number one, this is the Trinity. Do we believe in three gods? No. We believe in one God who has manifested himself so that we can perceive him in three different forms. The Father, who is so holy and righteous that when Moses wanted to see him, God said, "Can't, Mo. In my righteous form, you being sinful, you would explode at the speed of light, I suppose. But I will let you see my afterglow, my glory." And then we have the Holy Spirit, who does what he does through Old and New Testament. And then, of course, we have Jesus Christ. Which one of them are the one and only God? They all are. But how could you be three and one at the same time? I can't figure it out. I'm frustrated. Yeah, greater minds than yours and mine have tried to wrestle with this. Let me just sort of say it this way. God is smarter than us. And he exists in a multidimensional realm and system that, frankly, is way beyond any of our antennas to pick it up. The Holy Spirit is God. And then the Bible says that the Father is God. And the Bible says that the Messiah, Isaiah chapter 9, says he is the everlasting Father. One God who has shown up to us in three different forms. Really past that, I don't know really what to tell you. St. Patrick used to say, "Well, you see, it's like a shamrock." Irish. It's a bit like an Irish. I'm thinking of Lucky Charms. I know, that's terrible. Always after me, Lucky Charms. St. Patrick, he said it's three leaves, but it's one shamrock. Okay. Some people say it's like an apple. You got the core, and then the meat, and then the skin, but it's all one apple. Or it's like water. It can be liquid, solid, and gas. Yeah, it's smarter than me. I will tell you this, though. There will come a time on our brains will be greatly expanded, and we'll have an opportunity to go, oh, on the other side of glory. Sometimes when you see God in the Old Testament, when God says to Moses, come up to the mountain, God says, bring the 70 elders of Israel. And then the Bible says, and they all sat down and they ate with God. Wait a minute. No man has seen God at any time and lived, says the New Testament. This is confusing. Probably what they encountered in the Old Testament was a pre-incarnate, before he was born in the Bethlehem manger, a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus in the Old Testament. What? Are you saying Jesus is outside of time and can pop in at any place he wants? Yeah, it would appear so. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And that word for God is an interesting word, not Jehovah. It's the word El, E-L, meaning God. Elim, I-M, is the plural form of anything. One kibbutz, many kibbutzim. Elim, Elohim, Elohim, one God, plural. Then later on in Genesis chapter 1, he says, let us make man in our image. I thought there was only one God. Then you get to the New Testament, Gospel of John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And nothing was made except that He made it. Wait a minute. Who created the heavens and the earth? God or Jesus? Sal? Yes. That's right. Same guy. Yeah, the real answer is we don't have the antenna, eyes, ears, the perception to figure it out. And here is the Trinity on full display. Jesus being baptized, the Spirit showing up in the form of a dove, and then the voice from heaven. This is also going to happen in a transfiguration in Matthew chapter 17. Resting on him, this is a fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2. I'll read it to you. And by the way, Matthew, remember, who's a Levitical kid, he grew up in this whole Levitical system, and when he sees this happen, the Spirit of the Lord, says Isaiah 11, verse 2, shall rest upon him, capital H, Messiah, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. He knew his Old Testament. And everybody who knew chapter 11 of the book of Isaiah, when the form of the dove landed and then we hear the voice, they're all saying, right there is fulfilled Bible prophecy. That was my Forrest Gump there just a little bit. Sorry about that. Life is like a box of... Never mind. Also right, it fulfills another prophecy, Isaiah 42, verse 21. The Lord is well pleased for His, that's Messiah, righteousness' sake. That's 21. Let me read to you verse 20 right in front of that. Hey Israel, seeing many things, you who are watching such events, but you do not observe. You're opening the ears, but you don't hear. Now verse 21. And even when the Lord says, I am well pleased with him, you're not gonna get it. Let me read the verse after, verse 22. But this Israel is a people robbed and plundered. All of them are snared in holes, and they are hidden in prison houses. They are for prey, and no one believes, for plunder, and no one says, restore. The voice is not just saying, isn't my boy great? This is fulfilled Bible prophecy, literally saying, hey, everybody, please turn in your Bible to Isaiah chapter 42, verse 21. But make sure you read a little in front and a little bit in back, because right now, you all standing here going, golly, look at the Spirit resting on this man. I wonder what's for dinner. the Trinity, hinted at throughout the Old Testament, as I said, and now physically represented. And there's the end of Matthew chapter 3. But I want to take you to one more place before we go. Matthew chapter 11. I want to read a little bit more about this amazing person, John the Baptist. Do we understand that he is a fulfillment of Bible prophecy? He literally is what Malachi said, look out for. Messiah is almost at hand, and watch for Elijah. And of course, he's coming in the spirit and the power of Elijah. Go to chapter 11 now, verse 1. This is many, many months later. How miraculous was John the Baptist's birth? Pretty miraculous. Had an angelic announcement and everything. The angel tells Elizabeth and Zacharias, make sure that he follows the Nazarite living style. For you Bible students, hey, that's Numbers chapter 6. That's Samson stuff. They were not to eat certain things. They were to be perpetually given over to all things God. The Nazarite vow usually would happen for a relatively short period of time. John the Baptist lived the Nazarite vow for his entire life. Because he did preach righteousness, he got on Herod Antipas, who was following Herod the Great, and he wooed away from his own brother, his half-brother's wife, Herodias. You can't be doing that. This isn't MTV. So John the Baptist said, that's sin and you shouldn't do it. Herodias got really mad and said, I want that boy's head. Herod knew that there was something special about this guy, John the Baptist, because of everything we've talked about. So he incarcerates him primarily to keep him safe from his wife. You know the story. Herodias has a real good-looking young daughter. And so she does a dance for Herod at his birthday, and he's well past drunk. And she pleases him, and because he's so drunk, he says, that was awesome. I will give you whatever you want, up to half of my kingdom. And then she says, time out, runs to Herodias, her mom, what should I ask for? And what does she ask for? The head of John the Baptist on a platter. Why? Because he busted her in her sin. And the pride of Herod, he should have said, look, I'm the king and I'm not going to do that. But because of peer pressure, and he's boasted and all of his friends heard him, he followed through. But before that day, he's in prison as John the Baptist. Remember his miraculous birth. Remember his angelic commissioning. He has lived his entire life dedicated, a whole lifestyle of the Nazarite vow. Chapter 11. Now it came to pass when Jesus finished commanding his 12 disciples that he departed from there to teach and to preach in other cities. And when John the Baptist, heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and he said to them, are you the coming one? That's one of the titles of Messiah, Psalm 40, verse 7. The coming one, or do we look for another? Let me paraphrase this. Boy, did I start out strong, says John the Baptist. There's great promise. There's all kinds of wonderful high expectations of ministry. And sure enough, there I am baptizing at Bethbara, a huge, powerful visual image for Israel. And sure enough, here comes the Lord. And when I baptize him, the Holy Spirit shows up. And a voice from heaven, my son, fulfilling direct Bible prophecy. Ooh, goosebumps. I don't know how long this has happened since the baptismal day. These amazing events that John saw with his eyes. That was confirmation about what he always knew in his heart. However, he's in prison. John the Baptist probably realized or thought, like many of his contemporaries, if Jesus is Messiah, he's going to kick out Romans. He's going to set up his millennial reign that even Peter, James, and John thought he was going to do. Establishing righteousness on the earth is he's going to go after Herod. And I'm going to get set free from this prison. And I'm going to walk out saying, told you, Herod. But Jesus isn't doing any of that. And in the quietness of his own thoughts, like many of us, God has allowed a squeezing time. What happened? I started out with a bang. I saw bona fide fruit of ministry. I heard the audible voice of God saying, he is Messiah. But when you're in the refiner's fire, you can kind of go, I don't remember any of that just now. And the real ministry of God that I walked in now seems laughable. Are you Messiah? John? Seriously, dude? Weren't you at the baptism? Didn't you see the dove? Didn't you hear the voice? And the greatest man among women, nobody was greater than John the Baptist. And he too said, what's going on, God? So we're in pretty good company. Let's read what happens. Are you the one or do we look for another? He is a lost friend. What's wrong with him? How many times do I got to show up for that guy? Look at your Lord. You go and tell him this. Now he's going to cite Isaiah chapter 35 verses 4 through 6. Let me rephrase. You go tell John, please listen. You go tell the one who everything seems to not be anything that you thought it was. When you've lost your hope, when you've lost your faith, when you've lost every promise that at one time burned so bright in your mind, and it no longer burns, it's a smoldering ember. One puff will put it out. What do I do, God? Here's what he says to you. Here's what he said to John the Baptist. Get back in your Bible. You go tell him this. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed. And the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Isaiah 53 verse 4 and 6. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me. And as they departed, this is something I really hadn't seen until recently. When they had departed, as they were leaving out of earshot, Jesus says, what did you guys go out to see in the wilderness? The talking of the baptism. A reed shaken by the wind? Common sight. Or what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? That wasn't him. He had his camel hair leisure suit on. Those wear soft clothing, they're in king's houses. What did you go out to see, you guys? A prophet? Look at Jesus. Yes! He is my prophet! Was John the Baptist feeling like much of a prophet at that moment? Oh, that's what God does. He says, Steve, get into the Bible. I say, okay. I'll get my Bible. And then I don't hear him, but it's Jesus turning to the angels and saying, look at my man. A prophet, yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet, for he is the one whom it is written, behold, I send to my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. Isaiah 40. Verse 11, let me tell you something, guys. Among those born of women, there is not one risen greater than John the Baptist. I go, I'm falling apart here, Lord. Jesus says to me, get back in your Bible. And I say, okay, I'll get my Bible. And then does he turn around to his angelic host and says, Look at my man Steve go. Look at my man Sal hang in. Look at my woman of God. Okay, get back in your Bible, and there's a part of you going, I think I need a little more than that God. It says the flesh. He says, no, really, that's all you need. Because when you get into the Word, as you seek me, you will find me. But a little nuance, is the Lord then saying, I'm so proud of that guy. I'm so proud of that woman of God, that man of God. When we, like John the Baptist, are going bibbida, 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 bibbida. Now look at the last part here. But he who is the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Let's keep our eye on the ball. The theological certainty is this. Nobody did better keeping the law than John the Baptist. Who is the last Old Testament prophet? Many of us think of Malachi, but technically speaking, it's John the Baptist. Nobody did the Bible better than him. And Jesus says something powerful. And yet the least in the church of Jesus Christ, bought with his blood, how much of your sin was forgiven? And how much is all? Let's all stand together. Amen. I know that's a word for somebody. When we think that we're the ones blowing it and way out of bounds, we're the ones saying, man, am I missing it. At one time I burned brightly. At one time I could see God so clearly. At one time I had the passion. But in this refining fire, Lord, truth be known, are you he? Or do I go look for another? Jesus, your Bible, Lord, is truth. And it portrays humans as humans. And humans of which I am one, Lord, I drop the ball a lot. Some days are better than others. But here again is another amazing story and a penetrating truth. Lord Jesus, you love me and you beam with pride of the things which I do for you. Yeah, but what about the jillion other things I don't? Justified. Just as if it had never happened. As we all stand together with you, Lord, everybody's head down and everybody's eyes closed. If there's anybody in this room here this morning, Lord, that maybe is identifying with prisoner John the Baptist, minister to them, Lord. You're not mad at them. And Lord, I pray that they don't do what the enemy would love them to do, self-disqualify. Take yourself out of the game, out of the marriage, out of the ministry, out of the trial and tribulation. He'll let you do it if you really want to. But if you can stay with it, oh, how you will see his mighty hand move. And if you need you some of that, everybody's head down, eyes closed, maybe lift up your hand and say, Lord Jesus, I'm a little like prisoner John the Baptist this morning. Things don't look so clear to me right now. And you never say, didn't you see what I did about 50 times in your life? He says to you, my beloved, get back in your Bible and look for me there. I will meet you. I will restore you. I will give you all strength and power and authority and faithfulness and holiness and righteousness that you need. Because, child, all that stuff doesn't come from you. It comes from me. You got to hang under the spout where the glory comes out and just stay there a while. In Jesus' precious name, and everybody said, amen. Amen.
You've been listening to the Gospel of Matthew with Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. We hope these messages have been helpful in understanding that Jesus is the promised Messiah of God. It was that life-changing truth that turned Matthew's life around and restored him to his true calling, from serving self to serving the Savior of the world. If you missed any of today's message or would like to hear it in its full, unedited format, you can watch this or any of Pastor Steve's teachings at our website. Just visit us at harvestreno.org. That's www.harvestreno.org. Come join us Sundays at 10:30 and Wednesday evenings at 6:30. Harvest is located at 350 South Rock Boulevard in Reno. Until next time, Pastor Steve encourages all of us to follow Acts 2:42 and Word, Worship, Prayer, and Fellowship every day. May the Lord bless you and keep you as we are washed by the water of the Word.